Terrorist threat to U.S. interests in South Africa. Zakir Ahmed Mayed, Chairman of Media Review Networks, talks us through this. Zakir, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi to yourself and the listeners.
Jazakum akhir for joining us. Zakir, tell us, what terror alert has the U.S. Embassy in South Africa issued? Talk us through this.
Typical to the United States, it's a vague and embarrassing alert. They have indicated that they have information that extremists, and I think the wording is quite interesting here, it runs with the word terrorist threat, and then it says extremists are planning attacks on U.S. interests within the south borders of the Republic of South Africa, as well as government buildings related to the United States. They are warning U.S. citizens to take precautionary measures, monitor the news, and monitor their own security affairs. And if we look at what Cynthia Harvey, who's the spokesperson of the embassy here in South Africa on behalf of the United States, she uses the term specific, credible, and non-counterable threat information. Sounds very much like the fear-mongering that was done before the Iraq War, and we all know what resulted there. There were no nuclear weapons. There was no threat by the Iraqi people or its government, and it seems to be along those lines that this terror alert has come out. We don't know what it's about. We have no idea where this information comes from, and again, it goes into the world of spooks and these invisible sources that strike fear into the hearts of the population, and so far there has been no evidence to support this terror alert.
You use the word fear-mongering. Now, why is there this need for this constant fear-mongering?
Well, fear has always been a tool of the United States and every government before the United States and any other country. If we look at it, it's based firmly in the principles of democracy. One of the ideologues of democracy, Niccolo Machiavelli, he says that since love and fear can hardly exist together, if we must choose between them, it is far safer to choose fear than be loved. And I think that is a very important statement. Fear has always been utilized by the United States of America. And if we look at a very interesting article that came out by our Hibbs, Fear, the Foundation of Every Government's Power by the Independent Institute, he clearly details the United States utilizing the principle of fear and fear-mongering to promote U.S. foreign policy interests. And in fact, if you look at the last paragraph, he says that the government wants us to be afraid, needs us to be afraid, invests greatly in making us afraid. And I think this is part of it. That is why you consistently see these terror alerts coming up, to keep the population consistently in fear. First it was Al-Qaeda, then it went now to ISIS. And we're consistently seeing these different elements to continuously justify this broad-based war of terror of the United States.
Now, also a point of interest in this is that the alert seems to be only talking to Americans who stay in South Africa. That seems to be quite strange, as if they know something is going to happen.
Well, that I think is the impression that they want to create, that they have this idea that they are credible, there is credible information. Much like I said previously, the credible information that Iraq had nuclear weapons, or the credible information that the soccer matches during the World Cup would be targeted, particularly the Denmark match. We have all of these instances where the United States has utilized this fear to drum up the population. I think that there's something important that we have to look at. I think the timing is very curious. We are in a situation where the economics of the country are quite dismal. The rand is in free fall. But also the papers that were published on Sunday, the front headline read that the ANC, the ruling party, would be cracking down on dual citizenship. And I think that this is quite curious. Shortly thereafter, you have today's terror alert, and I don't think that this is going to be a coincidence. I think that we have to be cautious of the timing as well, and we have to critically analyze whether we are at risk of a false flag operation to justify the expansion of U.S. militarism within our own borders, and I think that becomes an obligation on the population to be very alert and quite cautious as to the geopolitics that are playing out currently.
The other thing that comes up, and the name that comes up at all of this, Zakir, is Professor Solomons. Is Professor Solomons still a terror consultant, and do you think he's part of this new threat?
Well, Professor Hussein Solomons, as he likes to refer to himself as, is the fraudulent terror professor. He's the same one that drummed the threats of the bombing of the World Cup up. He was the same go-to man when he said that we are facing an imminent attack, and he partnered up with David Potgieter to say that South Africa is a hotbed for terrorists, that there's a terrorist training ground, and when David Potgieter was put under the microscope to produce the evidence upon which he relied, and very similar to what Cynthia Harvey is saying, credible, non-counterable threat information, he could not produce that. Hussein Solomons is a discredited so-called terror analyst, and his bedfellows, the Israelis, are quite indicative in terms of his leanings. He was in attendance at the IDC Hezliya conference in Israel as one of the experts on Islamic terrorism, and that, I think, gives us a very clear indication as to which side he leans towards and who are his bedfellows. I don't believe that he's a credible source, and I think that the track record of the Muslim community within this country speaks for itself. We are not an extremist terrorist community. We have always been protective of the interests of this country. We have always contributed very heavily in terms of humanitarian aspects as well as charity and building this country, providing jobs to the communities and trying to contribute in push back into our communities. And I don't believe that Hussein Solomons is a credible source, and I do believe the track record of the Muslim community within this country speaks for itself.
Now, one thing that seems to be a pattern here is that it's almost every 2 years or so that we see these terror stories coming up, surfacing, and then fading away. It seems to have followed some sort of a pattern in that regard.
Indeed, if we look at South Africa as opposed to the rest of the continent, we remain one of the few countries that has complete control of our sovereignty. We also have to place it into the context of Africa Command, which is the military branch of the United States. South Africa, it was South Africa that opposed the base that was to be set up on the African continent. They were supposed to move the headquarters from Stuttgart to the African continent, and South Africa opposed that. Kenya was also opposed to it, and we saw how that position changed, and Nigeria as well. With the advent of Boko Haram and other movements, we saw the Nigerian country and its administration moving closer towards the United States and buying into the concepts of global terrorism and this war that has to be fought. I think that South Africa is in a precarious position in that we are the only target that is left, and this statement can be traced back to the former head of Africa Command, Carter H. Hamm, when he said that these are the three countries, and he actually made the statement in Pretoria, funny enough. So I think that we have to be cautious, and I think that this is a systematic campaign. The fact that you mentioned it, the timing is there. Every 2 years we have something of this sort cropping up, and I think we need to be very cautious that there is an expansion of militarism on the African continent. The budgets for Africa Command have gone through the roof. We know that there is an expansion within Southern Africa. They planning to build the largest U.S. embassy on record in Swaziland. We know that a base was set up in Botswana, and there were also white paper documents that came out for the expansion of drone projects within Southern Africa and the monitoring of Southern Africa via drones. So I think that we have to be very cautious, and I think it's upon now the community as well as the numerous NGOs to ensure that this fear-mongering does not get out of hand, that innocent people do not become victims of this fear-mongering, as has been the situation throughout the world.
Yes, now, in terms of how the media is going to cover that in the coming days, what can listeners expect, what can the public expect in terms of media coverage, and what should listeners do not to be caught up in this latest attempt to put Muslims under pressure?
I think the Muslim community has generally always been in a position of being reactive. we are always going forward to say that, no, it's not Islam. Islam is a religion of peace, when we should not be apologetic about anything. If we have to break it down to its basic principles, it's the United States that has been invading all the countries. It is not Muslims that have been invading the United States or any of the European countries. And I think that we have to be very cautious of this. We should not be apologists for our religion. We are who we are, and we are being targeted. Anyone that argues otherwise should look at the expose that appeared on Wired magazine when there was a training manual that advocated the destruction of the Kaaba. So I think that we have to be very clear as to our positioning. We can expect already, if we look at how the story is being covered, News 24 ran it, there are other publications that are running it now, and they are making quite a meal of this, that there's a terror alert and there's a terror threat in South Africa. However, there has been no substantial backing given to this, because we don't know the source, we don't know the nature of the threat, and all we have is a statement by Cynthia Harvey saying that it's credible information. And sadly to say, the United States does not have a very good track record of being very credible. So I think as the Muslim community, I think we must be cautious. Yes, we have to be vigilant. There's always a threat of false flag operations, and false flag being operations that take place, terror attacks, and that being pinned on the Muslim community. I think we have to be very cautious of that, and I think that we should be also very vigilant in the sense that we should not be reactive to this. We are a Muslim community, our track record speaks for itself, and that we should also be very cautious in terms of our emotions. I know that we often let our emotions get the best of us, but in this particular instance, this is a threat that has not been substantiated. We should take it with a pinch of salt, but we should always be vigilant, and the help of Allah is always there when we are on the right path. We must continue in doing what we do. We must continue to address the socio-economic problems within our communities, and that will speak for itself. Actions speak louder than words.
We appreciate your time. Jazakumullah khair, Zakir, and we look forward to chatting and analyzing in the coming days, inshallah.
Inshallah, and shukran for the opportunity. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Zakir Mayat, from the Media Review Network, the chairman speaking to us about this latest threat. You are listening to Your World Today on Radio Islam International.